2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
Home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM
and 1160 AM.
Welcome on into a special edition Cougar Sports Saturday podcast and Cougar Tracks podcast as well. Mitch Harper with Matt Biamonte. We're here at the Marriott Center as BYU takes down St. Mary's 65-51 in the regular season finale. Senior night. I mean, Mark Pope, Matt, he knows how to put on a show on senior night as BYU gets the dominant victory. And then afterwards, we get an impromptu senior night mic moment. It's pretty special stuff.
Coach Pope is the man. I just had this thought vividly in the post-game Zoom conference, Mitch, where I think you asked the last question, and we could probably fact-check ourselves if we went and listened to this, but thanks the media, thanks the fans. He's such a genuine guy. Alex Barcelo, I think he said, I trust this man. I believe in this man in his post-game conference. And what he was able to do at the end of this game, have a special moment with these seniors. And I wrote this on KSLSports.com in my three observations piece, Mitch. This felt as special as last year's senior night in a totally different way. It wasn't as electric. It wasn't sold out. You don't upset the number two team in the country, but you make it through a pandemic with no COVID-19 pauses. You have put yourself in a great position to be a favored seed in the opening round of the NCAA tournament, and you've got your team playing the best basketball of the season. There was a moment at the beginning of WCC play, Mitch, where I wasn't sure if this team was going to be able to figure it out. They weren't shooting the ball well. Their offense didn't look good. Their bench was routinely outscoring the starters. He's made some tweaks to the lineups. I mean, this team is peaking at the right time. It's a phenomenal coaching job by him, his staff. It's a great job by these players. And it's a memorable season in totally different ways from last year, but this will be remembered as a great season for BYU basketball.
You know, what's pretty special about this season, and I think this game, is that, you know, BYU has clearly said they're the second best program in the West Coast Conference. I think we've always felt that way in terms of program, in terms of brand, in terms of fan size. I mean, far and away, BYU is big time in this conference. But, you know, Gonzaga is that big national powerhouse. And St. Mary's, though, had the stranglehold on the number two spot. That has been put to bed. Mark Pope has come in, and in 2 years, he swept Randy Bennett in a single season in two games, and it wasn't a great St. Mary's team, but the way that BYU dominated in the second half and got contributions from the likes of Trevin Nell, Brandon Averett comes up big once again, Matt Harms was great on the defensive end. This team will just always find ways to get a win, and that's just kind of the calling card of the Mark Pope era, is that they defend home court, they don't lose two in a row. I mean, think about that. They've went two regular seasons now without back-to-back losses. It's a great program right now that I think continues to be on the rise. And what's so exciting is now we're knocking on the door of this BYU team playing in their first NCAA tournament in 2015. I think every Cougar fan listening to this and that has watched this team closely is just so anxious to see BYU basketball back in the NCAA tournament with a guy like Mark Pope. You just kind of feel like you dream big, because this guy, if you're going to tell him he can't do something, man, he's going to try to find a way to get it done. He's just kind of that, it's that relentless approach that he always talks about. And I just think, like I said, I think it was a great night for BYU, great night for BYU fans. It was great to see Cougar Nation show up for these trio of seniors that, as Mark Pope mentioned in the postgame, they are not your traditional seniors. Three transfers, guys that none of them envision being at BYU. None of them are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's just a cool dynamic that Mark Pope can make this place attractive to anyone from all walks of life, and I think that's why this BYU program has a lot of upside potentially going forward, and especially in this season.
And I think through 2 years, Mitch, we've seen the recipe for BYU basketball. And speaking of those seniors, we're coming at you live. Well, when you hear this, it won't be live, but we're recording this in the Marriott Center. We're watching the random things that go on in the Marriott Center after hours. We saw Caleb Lohner get a special crazy pair of pants. I put that on. Do you put it on your Twitter? I put it on my Twitter. I want a pair of those babies. I want a pair, Caleb. If you listen to this, get me and Mitch a pair of those pants. Right now we're seeing Matt Harms and Alex Barcelo, those seniors. And those speeches they gave were really heartfelt. And that was impromptu. The definition of impromptu is what we saw at the end of this game, where it wasn't planned. There was just, it made sense. The moment was there. And I loved what both of them had, and Brandon Avery. I loved what they all had to say. But Alex Barcelo, I think, got emotional in a couple moments, just thinking about the support that he's received. Matt Harms thanking President Worthland for getting fans in here. And side note to that, he's just a different player with fans. And that's what makes me excited for the tournament, because there's going to be fans there. He's going to have the juice that he hasn't had for most of the season. That and one he had in the second half, it's a pick and roll with Brandon Averett, gets the pass, puts up an awkward shot, it goes in, he celebrates, he's going nuts, players are laughing, having a good time. That fuels this guy. This wasn't his best game of the year, but actually maybe it was. 11-10, he was really physical, the five blocks, this is the Matt Harms that can propel BYU to, dare I say, a Sweet 16 appearance. A guy who's patrolling the paint, a guy who's physical. You don't need him to score 20. You'd love for that to happen. But this guy who is engaged, he's aggressive, he gets fired up. That and one I just talked about, Mitch, that wasn't the only time he got involved in hyping on the fans and screaming and yelling. This dude was loving it, and I loved his speech, and it was just a really special night, and led by a special group of seniors who, I think before tonight, we would have said they're probably not coming back, and now I think it's going to get interesting with these guys.
And Mark Pope made a great pitch to Cougar Nation, saying, hey, these seniors, we got to recruit these guys. I love that. I love the recruiting mindset. I thought that was fantastic that Mark Pope turned to Cougar Nation. He's like, let's recruit these guys back. I don't think Matt Harms is going to be coming back. He's made it pretty clear from the jump. This is his last year. But Alex Barcelo, man, I got to think, that's a play, that's a move where I feel like there's a chance there that he could come back and be back for one more year at BYU.
Speaking of Harms, sorry, this is live as I'm seeing it. Dude's eating a cougar tail on senior night. I got a cougar tail as well, and I'd be curious how far he could get into that cougar tail. His girlfriend's holding some flowers. Harms is chomping on a well-deserved cougar tail after a double-double.
This program, I swear, they have it's like a bakery of treats. They got cougar tails. On Thursday, they had a bunch of cookies, and Caleb Lohner's like, we're not worried about our bodies. And he's the guy that's like sculpted and looks like, the statue David. And, now Matt Harms just slamming a cougar tail. Hopefully, I wonder if that's like his first one. He's just like a senior night treat. He's enjoying a nice cougar tail, and Matt Harms goes off into the tunnel, a curtain call with cougar tail in hand. His last moments at the Marriott Center. You've heard it here on Cougar Sports Saturday and Cougar Tracks. Matt Harms leaves his last moment at the Marriott Center floor with cougar tail in hand. What a great night for Matt Harms. What a great night for BYU. The seniors came up big. Brandon Averett had big shots. Those 5 points early in the second half were huge, I think, for BYU to kind of create separation, then ultimately pull away. But what about Trevin Nell? Guy is emerging. And, when he got inserted into the starting lineup, I think it was that St. Mary's game in Moraga back in January, if memory serves me right, you know, he was kind of, you know, getting a feel for himself still, like kind of getting his feet underneath him in this new enhanced role. But the last 7 or 8 games, he has been shooting the ball really well, around 70% shooting the 3 the last 8 games. And BYU, in these last 8 games, 7 of the 8 games, there's been a different scorer. 7 different players in the last 8 games. BYU's got versatility, Matt, that on any given night, someone can emerge and be the feature guy on an offense. So I think anyone that's scouting BYU, they look at their scouting report and say, who goes to the top? I don't think he can make that clear distinction, because on any given night, someone can emerge.
I love that you bring up Trevin Nell. 15 of his last 21 from 3. So, yeah, a tick above 70%, which is exactly what this team needs. They need – now, can you ask Trevin Nell to go 4 or 5 every game? No, you can't. But if you can – if he were to go – let's say it was 11 of 21. That, I mean, that's exactly what this team needs, especially on a game where Alex Barcelo – didn't have the best offensive game. It was a tough matchup with Kusi, who's just a really physical, scrappy, nasty St. Mary's point guard defender that we're accustomed to seeing make things difficult. But it's no big deal. You got Averett, you've got Nell, and you know Lohner, a quiet offensive game, but he's a guy who could drop 15 on you. Gideon George was nice with 11 points. His 3-point game has come along nicely. When I first saw him this year, Mitch, I thought, okay, you're going to get good defense from him. Maybe you get some plays at the rim. I didn't know Gideon George could shoot like this. But he is pulling up in transition. He's shooting in rhythm, knocking down. I mean, he's nothing but net, just snapping the net. This team, I feel like it's a broken record when I write these 3 observation pieces, because I feel like every time I'm like, this team's peaking. This team's peaking. And it's just like we're seeing what they can become, but we still haven't seen that dominant performance. And, hey, maybe we'll see it next week at the WCC tournament, because no fans, neutral site, Gonzaga in a tournament that's, you know, you've been to that tournament many times, so have I. It's basically a Gonzaga home game for some of those tournaments. That's negated. This team's playing well. I would love to see those two teams go up against it and face each other yet again, because I think this BYU team is much improved from what we saw even their last meeting here in Provo.
BYU closes the regular season 19-5. They secured the number 2 seed for the 2nd consecutive year in the West Coast Conference, which means they'll play in the semifinals in the West Coast Conference tournament. It'll be a March 8th, 10 p.m. tip on ESPN2. It'll also be on KSL News Radio, of course. Pregame will start at 9 p.m. The opponent still to be determined, as the WCC has one of the more unusual bracket setups in all the conference tournaments. But, you know, Mark Pope did say, for those that are kind of wondering, are they going to go? Are they going to play? He did say that they're going to move forward. Everyone, by his understanding, is expected to opt in to the WCC tournament, except for maybe Portland. But honestly, who cares about the Pilots? They're winless. That there was no need for Portland. Honestly, San Diego, just mail it in. Don't show up. Get rid of those bottom two and move on and just have an 18 tournament. But BYU will be playing in that. Do you think that's the right move, because they're sitting at 19-5, you're securely in the NCAA tournament. Like, you are now projected as a 7 seed, 8 seed. You are in. You're not hovering around the bubble like Utah State or anyone like that. Like, you're in. Do you think they should have? Is that the right move to, you know, go down to Vegas, maybe risk potentially contracting the virus potentially, and, you know, risking your chances and availability of playing in the NCAA tournament?
It's not the right move. And I don't think BYU has a choice, because I think they would get killed if they didn't go. But I don't think it's the right move. And let me take it a step further, Mitch. It's not the right move for any of these conferences to have a conference tournament. No fans are going to this. There's little to no revenue to be made here. The only thing you're doing is risking their opportunity to play in the tournament that matters, the NCAA tournament. Winning a conference tournament championship would be nice, don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, do we really give a rip about that? We care about what you do in the NCAA tournament, and the NCAA tournament is here for these 68 teams that are deserving to be there, and let's just move to that. Let's just skip this dog and pony show, because the conference tournaments are fun when you can go. It's a neutral site, you're yelling, you know, you go to Vegas, you get the pass, you're watching all these games. It's fun. That's not the situation this time around. And Coach Pope, I did think, I'm just reading the tea leaves here. He didn't say this. Reading the tea leaves, aggregators, don't get me on this one. I felt like when that report came out, it was true based on what he said tonight, where he said, yeah, I can't remember the exact words, but he basically said, we're trending, or I think we're going to do it. But you could tell that it was heavily debated whether it was going to happen or not. And he made a joke that they're going to buy these like astronaut-looking helmets, and they're going to wear them everywhere, and it's going to be crazy. Because starting Monday, things get really intense with testing. Like, you've got to be negative. They can, no trace, or it's done. And because it's that stringent, Mitch, that's, I think, what bothers me, where you're jeopardizing the NCAA tournament. And if you get a positive test, it's done. It's over. There's not enough time for you to recover and go to the tournament. That would be such a shame to go down to Vegas, beat Pepperdine, and then lose to Gonzaga in the championship, and then on the final day, someone contracts the virus and it's over. Like, that would be unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think that that's why it's a bit surprising. And I think that, you know, Gonzaga probably, the fact that they're opting in means that BYU was ultimately going to opt in. I think BYU wanted Gonzaga to be like, no, we're not doing this. Because, and I think, too, that BYU, we know this. I mean, we've seen BYU deal with committees many times. And maybe, and this is just my opinion, and maybe it's just a persecution complex that I have with when it comes to BYU sports and selection committees. But I really feel like BYU, they would have dropped to probably the first four. Like, oh, you don't want to play in the conference tournament? If they were one of the only teams to opt out of a conference tournament, that just would not have been a good look. And we know BYU is always going to be, you know, kind of, as Mark Pope used the term, hyper-cautious about, you know, just kind of their image. And we always know when people point criticisms at BYU, it's met with a layer of the religious element. It's like, oh, they're holier than thou. It's like, no. This is not what it's about. This is all about, BYU wants to compete with anyone. BYU wanted to play Houston a couple weeks ago in a top 10 matchup. Even Kelvin Sampson said that, confirmed that, the head coach at Houston. They're like, we just, the logistics just couldn't work out. BYU wants to play anytime, anywhere. That's why they moved up games against Gonzaga. These games that we just saw this week were on the fly, rescheduled last week. So BYU is willing to play anyone. It's just simply, you have to have 7 consecutive days with negative tests from all of your personnel, coaches, players, the training staff, the tier one personnel that the NCAA deems tier one. They all got to test negative for 7 consecutive days before going to Indianapolis, and that is risky when you're going to a city that's going to have a bunch of conference tournaments, a bunch of new people traveling in. It makes it a little bit risky.
My last point on this topic, Mitch, is I've been really disappointed with the NCAA's lack of creativity throughout this pandemic in some of the major sports. I felt like there was little to no creativity in college football, and I'm seeing it now in college basketball, where why hold on to the past? There's a free pass to do whatever you need to do to finish the season. And how do we define finishing the season? The college football playoff and the NCAA tournament. That's all that matters in these sports, getting to that point, and it can happen any way you want. And we're holding on to these tournaments for no reason. It's just so frustrating to me that the NCAA can't figure this out. It's on and on and on with these guys about whether it be name, image, and likeness, whether it be conference realignment, whether it be how they discipline players, and now this. It's just, I just hope for not only BYU, but anyone going to a conference tournament, just pray and cross your fingers that no one gets stricken with a breakout of COVID-19, because that would just be so deflating, especially for this program, who felt like last year they were going to be a dark horse to be a Final Four team, and then it's snatched away from you by the what Coach Pope said this Thursday night. We are not letting COVID-19 take away another opportunity for us. And if that were to happen because you have to go to Las Vegas to play in the conference tournament, man, that would be, it would be a must listen Cougar Sports Saturday, because we'd probably be ripping people left and right for 3 hours.
That would be fantastic. And the thing is that, you know, BYU, it does make you kind of a little bit worried, because this was brought up in the post-game press conference. You know, BYU plays 24 regular season games. None of the interruptions, none of the pauses were due to BYU. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm Dr. Fauci and know the trends of how COVID, like, if you've had it in the summer, could you get it? I don't know. I honestly don't know. But the thing is that just makes you wonder, like, okay, is this going to be something that, you know, gets you a little bit concerned? Could BYU be vulnerable to getting it? I don't know. It's going to be very strange. You know, I wish that BYU and the WCC would have just got been forward thinking, like you said, and realize, hey, this is not needed. We need Gonzaga. When I say we, I'm referring to the WCC. We need Gonzaga in the national title. We need BYU to make a run to the Sweet 16, because NCAA tournament win shares and units, that's what makes you the most money. The WCC tournament, I'm sorry. Like, I can't imagine financially. I know it's the big money driver for the conference, but with no fans, what is the money that's coming from this? Like, no. Is BYU and Pep on at 10 p.m. on 10 p.m. Mountain Time on Monday night on the Deuce, is that going to generate just droves of money that will save these athletic departments? I don't know. Like, I these are private institutions. They're not revealing the books, but it's just, it makes you go, why does this matter this year? Because, you know, Mark Few, after they beat BYU here in Provo, he goes on Scott Van Pelt. He's like, yeah, I mean, I would like to, wouldn't mind seeing everyone come up, or like four teams come up to Spokane, or like, you know, that him and Pope were not completely thrilled. And again, we're reading between the lines here, but you could tell they were like, this is just kind of dicey, because Gonzaga, especially, they're the number one overall seed. We saw the selection committee reveal their top 16 teams. Gonzaga is number one. BYU, assuming based on all the bracketology, they are squarely in. And it just makes you go, man, like, why don't you just crown Gonzaga the automatic champ with the regular season? They went undefeated. They undoubtedly deserve it. And that's the thing, too, about this league. Gonzaga's been in the conference tournament championship game 24 straight years. Like, we know what's going to happen. The only maybe uncertainty is, you know, does BYU possibly get upset by Pepperdine? Like, that's the only like uncertainty. I mean, maybe BYU hangs with Gonzaga in the championship, but most likely it's going to be the Zags win the title, and it's probably going to be BYU and Gonzaga. That's what it is. Like, it's just like we saw it in the regular season. We don't need to see it in an empty Orleans Arena, which, by the way, is terrible sight lines. Like, I hate that arena. Like, it's just not good. Get that thing in the MGM Grand, please. I need some more prime time. But, yeah, I mean, it's just it is what it is, but hopefully BYU stays safe.
Conspiracy theory on this, Mitch, since this is a late night. It's getting close to midnight here as we're recording this. Would you tank the tournament to get out of there? If you feel like you're getting in, which I feel like they're getting in, if they were to lose to LMU, let's say they lose to LMU to start the tournament, you just any interest in bagging it to get the heck out of there?
Maybe. I mean, it's a thought, you know. But then there's that element of BYU doesn't have that built-in equity like Gonzaga, where they get the benefit of the doubt. Like, and Gonzaga has just built up two decades of success, where it's like, hey, they are good. Like, they're not. They're still trying to win the ultimate crown. But BYU they haven't been to the dance in 6 years because of a pandemic last year. But I mean, they don't have that built-in equity. Like, hey, this is a brand that's always good. We're going to put them in the field. We're going to give them a respectable seed. Where it's like one loss, you could go from the 8 line, I feel, and losing to LMU, which is a brand that, let's face it, no one respects. They would drop, I would imagine, to a 10 or 11. That might be better. I don't know. It's just, it's all strange. And it's sad that not many people are kind of forward thinking about this amidst the pandemic. But hey, it is what it is. As long as BYU stays healthy, they play the games, that's all we can ask for. But we got to see BYU in the NCAA tournament, because the NCAA has said they will have replacement teams on deck before the first round games are played. So if a team has an outbreak or cannot go, there will be teams that are waiting, that are all those bubble teams that could step in if before the first round is completed. So that is an element that's just, it's nerve-wracking, and it's going to be nerve-wracking for everyone. It's strange to think that any conference tournament is being played, but especially this conference tournament, because Pepperdine, you're not in the bubble. You know, LMU, you're not in the bubble. St. Mary's, definitely not on the bubble. Like, no one's on the bubble. It's only BYU and Gonzaga, and they're absolute locks. That's why this conference, it just doesn't make sense that it's going down. But hey, I digress. I mean, we're going on here, but nonetheless, I think we just all want to see BYU have postseason success, because now we've arrived. In the words of John Rothstein, this is March. We sleep in May. By the way, John, this is a complete side topic. Do you follow John Rothstein at all? He always has, like, these Dana Altman solves Rubik's Cubes, Xavier basketball, Hell in a Cell, like Bob Huggins in West Virginia, tougher than a weekend at your mother-in-law's. Like, we need a Mark Pope John Rothsteinism. Like, I'm trying to think of what that would be. Like, something like this Mark Pope. I don't know what it would be, but John Rothstein, if you're listening to this, maybe you are, because you're You're a crazy man. You love college basketball in all platforms. I respect the heck out of you. We need a Mark Pope, John Rothsteinism, please. I need that. I need that on a shirt. I need something from John Rothstein giving praise to Mark Pope.
Here's my final thoughts on the regular season. We're still going to talk BYU basketball for the foreseeable future in Cougar Sports Saturday, so by no means is this closing the books, but in a way it is, because we're going to walk out of the Marriott Center, and hopefully we're walking out of a dark period of time in the history of the world, and the next time we walk in here, we'll be back to normal. Everyone will be vaccinated, that the pandemic will have ended, that there will be none of these white things. Like, where did BYU come up with these, by the way? I don't know if they had them around, if they made them to block out seats in the Marriott Center. If you were watching on TV, I'm sure you saw it. But, like, I don't want to see these ever again. I want to see all blue and some of those nasty yellow seats. I want to see them filled. And one point I've long had, Mitch, is this BYU basketball program, you alluded to the fact they haven't been to the tournament in quite some time. They have been consistently good since Dave Rose took over. Have they always met expectations? Probably not. But we've never had a just, woof, 5-20, abysmal, embarrassing. That has not happened in almost two decades. And so I hope, so Cougar fans, if you're listening to this, buy season tickets, come to the games. Like, when we get back here, I want this place to be rocking. I want it to be fun. I want it to be great. And it's just, I don't know. I'm sure you feel the same way, Mitch, but when we came in here a few nights ago against San Francisco and the band was playing, a literal tear streamed down my face because it's so near and dear to my heart. I have so many great memories at this place, hearing the band, seeing the warm-up dunks, hearing the sounds. Even, I did get a little annoyed tonight. I thought the St. Mary's coaching bench needed to pipe it down a little bit. I mean, it was ridiculous how the screaming and yelling from the Gales was really getting to me. But in a way, it was endearing. It's like, hey, let's you know, BYU Nation, boo these guys. These guys are being ridiculous. You know, it's just, I want all that to happen. And so as we walk out of here in a moment, and whenever you listen to this, just, I don't know, you can't hug college basketball, but just appreciate it maybe a little bit more, because it was a difficult season at times to even come in here and cover the team, because it just felt so weird, so bizarre. I can't imagine how it was for the players and the coaches, but they've survived it, which I think is my overarching point here, is they have overcome a pandemic season in which they were able to navigate the stormy seas of COVID-19, and if they can just, they can see land from the ship, they just got to navigate a couple coral reefs and a couple dangerous waves coming up, then they're at land, the NCAA tournament, and it'll be great. But it's now I'm rambling, Mitch. It's just, it's weird being in here, knowing that we're walking out of here, and hopefully the next time we walk in, this pandemic is behind us, and we're on to normal, whatever that is. We're on to it.
It's a great point, Matt. We experienced a historic academic year with football and basketball. It was historic. I mean, we will look back on this, and hopefully we never experience this again in our lifetime. And to pull once again another John Rothsteinism, stay positive, test negative. It's gonna have to do it for Cougar Sports Saturday in the Cougar Tracks podcast. Stay positive, test negative. Every morning, John Rothstein, like 4 a.m. Like, I'm getting a notification. Like, he's a push notification guy for me. I'm all about his transfer updates anyway. For Matt Biamonte, Mitch Harper, from the Marriott Center, this has been the Cougar Sports Saturday and Cougar Tracks podcast recapping BYU's win over St. Mary's and putting a close on the regular season off to March in Las Vegas for the WCC tournament. BYU basketball, big things ahead coming up in the postseason. So we'll talk to you later here on Cougar Sports Saturday and Cougar Tracks, powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.